Well, it is always a great time when we get to bring on the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper. He is Ed Longwah. Ed, great to talk with you this morning.
Great to talk to you, David. It feels more like Oregon outside today. I'm kind of happy about that.
I am too. I'll definitely take that. You know, Brenda and I, when we opened the show this morning, we were talking about this is kind of the fair season, Clark County Fair opening up. I know the Oregon State Fair usually opens up the week before Labor Day, right around there. We were talking about going on carnival rides. Were you a carnival ride guy? Did you like to go on them?
David, I loved roller coasters, but anything that went in circles made me quite ill.
Yes.
And I learned that fast and the hard way. I won't go into the details.
I kind of have an idea of where you're going with that. And that's funny because that's what Brenda and I were both saying, too, is that we could do the roller coasters. I could do the spinning rides when I was younger, but then I tried to get on them when I was a little older. No thanks. I'll stick with the roller coasters for sure.
Which was sad for me because I dearly wanted to be an astronaut.
Oh.
But I had to learn early, you have to do what you're built for.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think they have some spinning things going on when you're doing the training. Hey, Ed, I just read your excellent story about the establishment of the Archdiocese in the Great Pacific Northwest years later to become the Archdiocese of Portland. And what a story this is. I mean, this would make a great movie. You have a cast of bold pioneer priests, Father Francis Blanchet, soon to be Archbishop. You've got Pope Gregory, you've got Pope Pius IX, King Louis-Philippe of France, and the somewhat annoyed Archbishop Samuel Eccleston of Baltimore. You have intrigue, ghost riders, adventurous travel with danger around every ocean wave and bend in the river, and a race with missionaries. I mean, bring on Errol Flynn, Basil Rathbone, and Claude Rains. I'm watching this on Turner Classic Movies. Am I right?
I think you just wrote a screenplay. That's congratulations. I'm in. Let's do it.
Well, your story prompted me on that, and it is an amazing story. I never really realized the history of how the Archdiocese of Portland came to be, and there is just a great story behind it.
I've always been fascinated by this, David, and a lot of historians have too. Here in the 1840s in the United States, we had one single archdiocese, and it was based in Baltimore, and the aforementioned Samuel Eccleston was the archbishop there. And then here we get into 1846, and Rome names this little podunk vicariate apostolic out on the west coast an archdiocese for the Oregon country. It was called the Archdiocese of Oregon City. We've always wondered why, because there was not much here, David. Even the brick church at St. Paul was under construction at that time. It had only had the cornerstone laid about a month before. But here on July 24th, 1846, Pope Pius IX names an archdiocese here. But the backstory is that the previous pope, Pope Gregory the 16th, was a guy who loved to look at maps. And there he was looking at a map of North America, and there was Baltimore. And then he thought, wouldn't it be nice to have an archdiocese on the other side to bookend this new, exciting American nation? And I think that's where the dream really started. But then a man named Archbishop Francis Blanchet, you mentioned him. He was the priest who came here in 1838 and became the head of what was called the Vicariate Apostolic. And that's what they called the place that was mission territory, not quite ready to be baked yet.
Right.
He became a great missionary, taught many Native Americans, taught many settlers, but he hadn't built a whole lot yet or established a whole lot yet. But he was named the head of the place. Then he was named a bishop. He had to go back to Montreal to get ordained a bishop. And then he went to Europe to start raising some money. And it was during this time when he was in Europe that he met with two friends at the Vatican. These were fellows who knew how to cut through the red tape, and they thought archdiocese in the Oregon country was a good idea, too. So they helped him write this proposal that would be put before the Pope, describing the glorious beauties and the great potentials of Oregon City, and somehow they got it through to the Pope. Pope Gregory died shortly before he could sign this, but Pope Pius IX, it was one of his first official duties was to sign the decree that made a new archdiocese way out in the Oregon country.
Speaking with Ed Longwa, the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, he has this wonderful story on the history of how the Archdiocese of Portland came to be. And again, I mean, we don't have time to talk about it in length because of our time frame here, but there's so much to this story. I mean, it's almost providential, I guess, if you would say.
I think it is, and it's still a place where it's a missionary diocese still, David, and I know Archbishop Alexander Sample really starting to look at it this way. We have to go back to those days of old when there was a lots of zeal and fervor to spread the faith. It's a place where we have to be creative, too. Archbishop Blanchet was a great creative guy. He invented this thing called the Catholic Ladder, which was a kind of an infographic to help explain salvation history to people who didn't know Scripture yet.
Right.
Truly beautiful. One thing we should mention quickly that when he was in Europe, Archbishop met with King Louis Philippe of France.
Right.
And Louis Philippe was very generous to this crazy archdiocese out there. And we can only speculate. There's nothing written down of what they talked about. But we do know that in the Northwest, there was a conflict between the United States and Great Britain over some territory. And we can imagine the French Catholic King wanting the Francophone French Catholic missionary to prevail over the English Methodists who were also out here and were having some disputes with the Catholics. And so that generous donation from the French probably made it a lot easier for Pius IX to sign that decree. If the funding was there, it was easier to name an archdiocese.
Well, the other thing that strikes me about the story, too, is that it wasn't as if Archbishop Blanchet could just hop on a jet and go to France and raise some funds and then hop on another jet, fly back over to the Northwest. You're talking some harrowing travel.
This took years. Storms went around the famous Cape Horn at the tip of South America, which had gigantic waves and is a graveyard of ships. And he stopped in Honolulu, little islands. It took most of a year to get from Oregon over to Europe. And you're right, nothing was safe about it. A lot of ships went down.
And then not to mention, you know, being able to get the King of France to fund this little missionary territory. And again, just the backstory to this is just amazing. And you think about some of the development that happened. You start in Oregon City. You've got the little church in St. Paul. There wasn't a lot here.
There was very little. And even after the archdiocese was named, a visitor from Europe went to Oregon City and met with the archbishop and looked at where Archbishop Blanchet lived, and he said, "Your archiepiscopal palace is worthy of John the Baptist."
Yes.
Meaning that it was a very rustic place indeed, we can only imagine. One thing we should say is that the persuasive powers of Archbishop Blanchet must have been powerful. I love what Joe Shewick, the historian for the archdiocese, said of Archbishop Blanchet. He said, "He must have been a salesman who could have sold freezers to Eskimos."
That's right. And so he did. And here we are to this day, the Archdiocese of Portland. Ed Longwa, the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper. Wonderful story on how the Archdiocese of Portland came to be. Check it out online. You can check it out and read it on the website of the Catholic Sentinel. Ed, great to talk with you again. Great story. It's going to be a movie someday.
Thanks, David. It's also on page one of this week's print issue that folks can pick up in church. So thank you for helping us get this word out.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.